In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In our midweek series, we have now covered, of course, multiple points about confession and absolution. First, how, of course, we keep confession and absolution in our churches for the sake of you, dear Christians, being able to hear the word of absolution. That is, you would hear of what our Lord Jesus Christ does to your sins. He forgives them. Last week we heard of how before God we plead guilty of all sins, even those we're not aware of, as we do in the Lord's Prayer. But before our pastor we confess only those sins which we know and feel in our hearts. And now today we move on to the very next question in that small catechism, which sins are these? This is a most practical lesson today. Which sins do we know and feel in our hearts, and should we confess? This is important preparation, important teaching to receive before making any confession, whether it's the confession you make on Sunday mornings before the divine service, the beginning of it, or whether it's the confession you make before your pastors through private confession and absolution. It's also a good instruction before the receiving of our Lord's body and blood in the sacrament of the altar. It is, in fact, vital training for the day-to-day life as a repentant and faithful Christian. That is each one of you. Our lessons tonight point out that God has so ordered the world. He so arranged the world and put it into order in that there are three different estates, as we would call them, three different spheres of life. The home, as evidenced by John the Baptist being mentioned as the son of Zechariah. The church, mentioned as the priests, the high priest, and so forth. And then the state, with mention of the emperor, and other rulers and governors and so forth, including Herod himself in that same lesson. That these three, the home, the church, and the state, are the areas in which all human beings live. The workplace is relatively recent in human history, but it grows out from the home. And so we include it in the home, that estate of the home, as the work done in the workplace is for the sake of the home. With these estates, God has put daily lives, all of our daily lives, into an order. In the same way that our God put all of creation into order in those 6 days, and in the same way our God makes the sexes distinct from one another and puts them in order. God is a God of order, and order is good for creatures. On top of these estates, we also have this term called vocation, or calling, as some might put it. Vocation is this godly place where God puts you within an estate. It positions you. It places you in each estate, that you have a vocation or many vocations in your home, in the church, and the state. That you have not one vocation, but multiple vocations. In the home, it can be things like husband, wife, father, mother, child, sibling, other family relations. Bringing in the workplace, then you learn to have employees or bosses, supervisors, all different levels of management and so forth. In the church, you have the vocations of being a hearer or a preacher. And in the state, then, you have rulers, and you have those who are ruled, subjects. This is what we hear in the lesson from St. Luke. John the Baptizer, a son, according to his household, but also a prophet, a preacher, according to his standing in the state or in the church, and a subject to Herod, according to the state. He is admonishing the repentant to live out their lives as tax collectors, as soldiers, to live out their vocations within the places that God has put them. He is telling them how the commandments, which we heard in that first lesson in Deuteronomy chapter 5, how those commandments that apply to their vocations, their callings. That all good works will fit well within the vocation, the estates that we have been given. That's where God has laid out all of your good works, the things that are done in faith according to the commandments. This is where he lays them all out to be done, that, as Ephesians call it, that you would walk in them. Now it so happens that as God ordered the world, that when sin entered the world, it brought disorder to what God had put in order. That sin upended the ordering of marriage. It caused preacher and hearer to accuse God of wrongdoing. And it handed the rule of this world over to the ruler of this world as we know him now, Satan himself. As sin has messed everything up. And just as our good works are meant to be done in a way that God orders the world that is within estates and within vocations and so forth, so often now sin happens within that same order as the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh attempt to undo what God has done for each person in the life that God has given them. So just as good works happen in the home, in the church, in the state, sin happens in the home, the church, and the state. Sin happens in the vocations that God has given. So when you think of your sinfulness, there is a general sinfulness, certainly, that you have original sin, that corruption, and that is indeed sin. And that corruption produces more sin. Sins of omission, sins of commission, sins of thoughts, words, and deeds. That, as we learned last week, before God, we can't even imagine all the sins we've done. But that should not be an excuse for us to never examine our lives according to the Ten Commandments. Because our sins are, yes, chiefly against God, but they also hurt our neighbor. Our neighbor in the home, in the church, and in the state. And that examination is a key part to making confession. That examination is a key part to even receiving the Lord's Supper. So very simply put, to examine yourself is to take those commandments that you've learned from God's Word, to take those commandments that you've learned from the small catechism, and you take your various vocations, your various callings from those estates, and you measure them against each other. So for example, take a father. That as a father, have I feared, loved, and trusted in God above all things, or do I trust in my own strength, my own abilities? Have I taught my children the Bible? Have I taught them the teaching of Scripture? Have I guarded them from false teaching? Have I taught them to pray? Have I prayed for them? Have I brought them with me to church? Have I given them an example of gladly hearing and learning the preaching and teaching of God's Word? Have I honored the authorities that God has placed over me, so that my children might learn to honor the same, including government? Have I protected the life of those under my care and provided for them? Have I shown my children the goodness of marriage, teaching daughters about what a husband does, and teaching sons how to be a good husband? Have I helped them in their marriages if they are already married? Have I been generous to others, or have I taught my children to be greedy? Have I spoken well of others before my children, showing them an example of sound and charitable speech, or have I taught them to run down reputations and destroy others behind the scenes? Have I taught my children by example? Have I taught them to live a life of contentment with what God has given, or have I catechized them to covet and complain? As these are all the commandments, all in relation to just fatherhood. You can see from this illustration, this example, of how useful this is for you to correct yourself, confess your sins, receive absolution for those things, but also to remind yourself of what your duties towards those who God has put in your life are. And you can do this for every one of your single vocations that you have, whether it's the home, the church, or the state. So what's the point of doing this? The point is that you would know your sins, that you would confess your sins, and yes, you would receive absolution, that is forgiveness from the pastor as from God himself. That you would return after the absolution to your vocations with a clean conscience, not burdened by the sins of your past, but washed clean in the forgiveness that only Christ has earned. The forgiveness that Christ has commanded his church to deliver to his people. That in this way, the fruit of Christ's work, the fruit of the cross of Jesus, the forgiveness earned by the shedding of his blood, fills your life in every calling and vocation and estate. And it flows out then through you onto all the other neighbors God puts around you in your home, in the church, and in the state. So yes, these vocations provide you with every avenue God would have you for your good works. And yes, those same vocations become the very places for your sins. But the forgiveness of those sins, the forgiveness of those sins goes with you into those vocations as well. That you are a forgiven father, a forgiven mother, a forgiven husband, a forgiven wife, a forgiven child, a forgiven worker, a forgiven hearer or preacher, a forgiven ruler or citizen. That this is incredibly helpful for you as you live out your life in those places that God would have you living and helping your neighbor in. That you would have a clean conscience, set free from the guilt of sin by the forgiveness of Christ. That allows you then to focus fully on the people that God has around you on this earth to serve. That this is the great life that is found in the forgiveness of sins. So that making a good confession of sin will help you gain a greater love of God for the full forgiveness of your sins that he gives you. That just as your sins are not generic, but they happen in time, in vocations, in callings, so also your forgiveness is not generic either. But it's very specific. It is meant for your specific place in life, and it is meant for your specific day-to-day existence. This is the love that God has for you. He has put you in these various places of service in his ordered world. He has given his commands for good to be done in those places. But he's also provided the forgiveness of sins for when those places of service have become the place of sin. That you are to use those commandments. And you are to make use of those vocations that God has given you. And you are to come to trust in our faithful God's forgiveness of sins earned by Jesus, provided in that absolution. To trust in them because they are given for your sake. And thus, with a clean conscience by the forgiveness of your sins, it is given for you for the people you serve's sake. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.